So he's going to come and share his testimony with the church. We're very blessed and privileged to have Andrew and Tara as a part of our church family here. And I tell you, this has been a great trial for both of them. And I admire Tara. She stood right by her husband, and that's what a young wife is supposed to do. And God has answered prayer for both of them, and God continues to answer prayer. So at this time, Andrew is going to come and sing a special, and right after that, say whatever God wants him to say today.
This song speaks for itself, so...
Love I knew he'd reach the end of life's journey, but he'd been holding on to God a long, long time. And as I knelt beside his bed, my heart was thrilled at what he said. If I go or if I stay, victory is mine. I'm a winner either way, if I go or if I stay, for I'll still have my Jesus each passing day. I'll have my healing here below, or life forever, if I go. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm a winner either way. None of us really knows about tomorrow. We must prepare to go to heaven any day. But while we're here, let's trust the Lord, He'll lead us safe to our reward, and by this grace we'll be a winner either way. I'm a winner either way, if I go or if I stay, for I'll still have my Jesus each passing day. I'll have my healing here below, for life forever, if I go. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm a winner either way. I'm a winner either way, if I go or if I stay, for I'll still have my Jesus each passing. I'll have my healing here below, for life forever, if I go. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm a winner either way. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm a winner either way.
Be able to share with you what God's done in not only my life but Tara's too, and she's up here supporting me like she has been the whole time, and I couldn't make it without her. But I want to start off by reading a few verses of scripture in Psalm 103. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If not, that's fine too. But I was thumbing through the Bible yesterday, and asked the Lord to give me some verses of Scripture that went along with what we were going to talk about. And then I came upon this. We'll just read the first four verses of Psalm 103. It says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, and who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Aren't you glad that He does heal? He's healed me, and I'll proclaim that this morning. I made a little outline so I could... There's so many things that happened, so many miracles that God's done for us over the last 3 years that I didn't want to go back and forth, but so I just kind of wrote down some things that we remembered. And I was diagnosed with leukemia in November of 97, and that was a real shock. And it's a scary thing because you don't know anything about cancer or anything until it touches your life or somebody in your family. But God has always been there through the whole thing. Everything that comes up, God's always taken care of it. And we started chemotherapy, and that's usually pretty bad. But I don't remember it being that bad. And I went into remission after the first treatment and stayed in remission for 14 months. And again, getting headaches and getting sick because the pain was so bad. And so we went back to the doctor and found out that it had spread to my brain. And I had a tumor in my brain caused by the leukemia cell. And so we began, they put a shunt in my head, which is still in there, to give chemo treatments to the brain to kill those cells out. And after 7 days of that, seven treatments of that in the brain, it was gone. And the option after that, after you relapse, is to have a bone marrow transplant. And so we had the bone marrow lady begin looking for a match and tested my brother and sister, and neither one of them were matches for me. They were perfect matches for each other, but that didn't do me any good. And the lady began looking in the National Registry and found some potential donors and began doing in-depth studies on them, and came across a lady that was a perfect 100% match. And before she was going to do her extensive tests and everything, she got sick, and so we couldn't use her. And found another man who was a 52-year-old male, and he wasn't a perfect match, but he was close enough, and so we went with him and began preparation for the bone marrow transplant. And that was one of the miracles, is that they found the donor so quick. You never know how long it's going to take to find a suitable donor for a transplant, and God answered that prayer and found them one in 2 months. And so we began to get ready to be in isolation, which is where they put you in the hospital so you can't catch anything, any kind of bug or anything, because that's usually what kills people with leukemia or anything else that affects your immune system. And so got in isolation, and began, what was it, 7 days? 7 days of chemo, and that was to knock all the cells in my body out so they could put these new cells in. So we did that for 7 days, and the whole time, I never got sick. I never lost my appetite. I was able to eat every meal and keep my strength up. I had an exercise bike in there with me, and I rode it, and I was able to talk with Tara and the family outside the window. I thought about that this morning. That was a great time, even though I was having chemo and everything, because God allowed me to not feel any pain or get sick or anything. It was just a great time, a quiet time, because nobody else could come in the room or I couldn't go out. So it was a great time for just me and God to spend time together, and Him letting me, giving me peace about everything and letting me know that everything was going to be okay, and to study more of His Word and just listen to Him and what He had to say. And that was a great time. And I got out after the bone marrow transplant, which is just like a blood transfusion. Brother Demian, there was a whole group of people there, but we expected it to be a lot bigger deal than what it really was. It's just like a blood transfusion or anything else. It wasn't a real big event. But got out of there in 13 days. And they told me before I even went in that you're going to stay in there at least 30 days. And got out in half that time. So that was another answer to prayer. And we stayed, got out on the regular floor and stayed in the hospital for a few more weeks. And you have to stay, the protocol for that is you have to stay in the area for 100 days. Just to, so they can monitor you. You got to go back to the hospital every day, and so they can keep a check on you and everything else. And everything went good through all of that. Had to go back a few times for high fever or something like that, but no major problems. And so we were able to go home after that. We were able to come home and get well, and had to stay at the house a lot and not get around very many people because of my immune system was so low. And I'd get stronger every day, and finally went back to work, at the end of September, and worked through November, and then December, about the second week in December, started to develop a cough, and it just kept progressing and progressing. And one of the things that they had to put you on after the transplant, you know, they put you on all kinds of medicine, but the main one is steroids, which you usually think of steroids as muscle men and all that, you know, they use it to build their muscle, but in this case, it eats your muscle up. And so they put me on high doses of that. I stayed on it the whole time. And many of the effects of it is that anything like fungus or bacteria, if you breathe that in, that the fungus feeds off the steroids, and when you're taking a high dose, it just spreads like wildfire. And so in December, sometime I got some type of fungus from somewhere, and that began to spread in my lungs. And one night, I think it was December the 20th, I began coughing, and coughing so hard I started to spit up blood. And so we went to the hospital the next day, and they admitted me. And by the time I got to the emergency room and everything, God had stopped all the bleeding and everything in my lungs. And so they did tests and told me that I had a fungus in my lung. And by that time, I felt really good and was ready to go home. They left me in there for 2 weeks, and after that, I had another episode, right? And started coughing real bad and coughing up some more blood, and so they put me on oxygen then and took me down to the ICU just to run tests and to monitor me. And just stayed in there one day, and that was unusual because you usually don't stay in there for just one day or one night. It's usually a long process, but God took care of that and allowed me to experience that, and then he allowed me to go back, and everything was good for a while. And we had Christmas there and New Year's, and then we had Tara's birthday in January, and then we had a birthday party for me in February, and everybody came down the weekend before. I think my birthday was on a Wednesday, and we'd had a little party and everything, and my parents' 25th anniversary too, so we kind of celebrated it all. And Tara went home with my brother and sister-in-law, and on my birthday, on Wednesday, I went down. I missed a very important part. But when you have the fungus, the only medicine they had to fight that is called Amazon, and it's a liquid, and it's real hard on your kidneys, and so that's what put my kidneys into stress, was that medicine. And so I had to start dialysis. And another answer to prayer, which we didn't even know existed, was a investigational drug that they had come out with called Cherian compound, and you had to meet certain criteria to get on the protocol or the list or whatever. And I met that criteria, and so I was able to get on that medicine, which didn't affect your kidneys or anything else. It just attacked the fungus. And after I started taking that, and we did a CAT scan to see how the fungus was, if it was progressing or if it was regressing, and a few days later it had destroyed 25% of that fungus. And so that was a real blessing, because it enabled me to breathe better and everything else, although I was still on oxygen. And God allowed me one day to feel his healing power. And the morning of my birthday, I had to go down to the ICU unit, because that's where I had dialysis at. But everything was going great and didn't have any problems. Had a great few days there, and I got down, and the lady was about to hook me up, and I started coughing, and I just couldn't quit, and I started coughing up a lot of blood and everything. And luckily the doctors were right there in the unit, and they put a tube down my throat so I could breathe, and medicated me, and it seemed just like that. And I don't really remember after they medicated me, but I remember Tara wasn't there, and I remember thinking that God's fixing to take me home. And although I was in shock when I started to lose my breath and everything, couldn't breathe at all, I remember a peace that just came over me that the Lord gave to me. He just let me feel the peace, and I felt, Lord, you know, if you're ready to take me on, I'm ready to go. And but I said, I want to see my wife first. And then I remember just waiting on her, and then seeing her face, and I remember trying to smile, and I'm sure I didn't do a very good job because I had tubes all in me, but I remember seeing her, and then I closed my eyes, and that's all I remember. And the next thing I remember is waking up, and my dad was standing there, and I said, what happened, you know? And I said, I thought it was still the same day. And he said, no, son, you've been in here 6 days. And I didn't even know it. And the weird thing about it is that the whole time, everybody that came in said I would respond, and I would write notes and stuff to them because I couldn't talk. But I have no memory of that, and I believe God took that memory away from those days because it was so, would have been so terrible to experience that. And the greatest miracle is that He brought me through that, because everybody that we had met or known or anything that ended up in the ICU and had to go on an intubator, that's where they stayed and they didn't come out. And that's where they all ended up passing away. And that was a great miracle that He brought me through that. And He allowed me to experience what it would feel like to die. And He gave me that peace about it, which if you're a Christian, you have that peace because, and kind of excitement because you think, you know, I'm fixing to meet the Lord face to face. And if you're a Christian, then you know what that means, and that ought to excite you because you have that assurance that when you do, when the Lord does decide to call you home, that you'll be ready. And that was a pretty awesome ordeal. And when I got out of there and went back to the hospital, to the regular room, and while I was in the ICU for those 6 days, they had to give me unbelievable amounts of steroids and everything else. And of course, I couldn't do anything but lay in the bed. And so when I got back to our room, I couldn't even move in the bed. I was so weak because, like I said before, the steroids that just eat your muscle away, your muscle mass, and that's where I started to recover slowly and get better. And we did another CAT scan, and it showed that it was 75% improved, and that was a miracle. And even the doctors and nurses that took care of me were just amazed at what all I'd gone through and lived through, because God had brought me through all that. And of course, most of them, you know, it's not a miracle, it's got to be medicine. But I'm here to tell you right now, it was every bit a miracle. And all the reason I'm sitting here this morning is because of the grace of God and nothing else. And so that was an awesome time, a time of humbleness for me, spiritually and physically, because I've always been a strong type and pretty big and everything else, and God brought me, He brought me down. But that was His purpose in all of it. And I was talking to Brother Demby the other day, and I said it was like, or I even said in the hospital, that it was like the potter in the clay, that He just took me down to the base part of the clay, as low as I could go, to allow me to experience that and to humble me to Him and to His will. And then He began to build me back up, and he's still working on me to be what He wants me to be and to follow His will for my life. And He has been my saving grace. And like that song talked about, if you know what it's like to experience the Lord and be saved when the Holy Spirit comes and deals with you in your life, convicts your heart of your sin, and you confess that sin and accept Him as your Lord and Savior, all of that stuff is gone. All of the things that you've done in the past, all your sins, that's what He died for on the cross. It's for my sins and for your sins. And all we have to do is accept Him. That's the easiest thing you can ever do, and the greatest gift that you'll ever receive. And it's a wonderful life to live, a Christian life. You know, all of us know what it's like to be out of God's will and to be in the world, and that's, you know, it's a dead end for anybody that lives that way. And it's up to us as Christians to live how God commands us to live, and to strive to be like Jesus Christ, and to show everybody else, like the song says, let others see Jesus in you. And it's more through what you do than what you say. You know, you can sit here and talk about it all day, but if you don't live it, it doesn't do any good, because people are watching you all the time. And you need to let them see what it's like to live a Christian life. It's not a boring, dull life, and it doesn't take all the fun out of your life. It's a wonderful experience, and if anything, it enhances your life more than anything you'll ever experience. And so I praise God this morning for allowing or sending His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. And it's when I couldn't move in the bed or do anything else for myself, my mom and Tara would always be there to help me, and we just slowly began to come back and get a little stronger, and began rehab there in the hospital, and finally got strong enough to where I could get out of the hospital, and everything was going good, and had to be in a wheelchair. But before I got out of the hospital, I was on the walker and could walk pretty good. And so we had to stay in an apartment for a few more months, I guess, about a month, and there in Houston. And so kept getting stronger, and then came home and went back for a checkup and had another infection in my lungs that they found on x-ray. And so we began treating that, and of course they put me on more steroids and to open the lungs up, and so then that knocked me back down again, and I went back to the wheelchair. And but any of you that's a member of this church and has seen me, you've seen the work that God's done in my life, because a lot of you seen me in a wheelchair, and then, you know, I've come in a walker, and now I don't use anything. And so that's the testimony to what God's done in my life and what He continues to do. And I believe that He's healed my body. The last CAT scan that we did showed no sign of infection at all, and that's a miracle, because it had almost taken over my lungs, and God took it away, and I thank Him for that. And a lot of times when we think of a miracle, we think of one that happens right then, so you can see it right then, complete turnaround, and God can do that, and He does do that still, and God's still in the miracle working business, I guarantee you. And but in my case, God's working a miracle every day, and just a progression, and I just thank Him every day. I mean, it's a miracle that I'm sitting here this morning, able to share with you what He's done for me. But that's what He's brought me through all this for, is to share with other people what God's done in my life, and to praise Him for that. And I pray that it touches somebody's life in some way, that if they're not saved, that they'll realize their need for Jesus and turn to Him today. I mean, there's no reason for you to wait. You know, you could be going out in your car and leave to go to lunch and have a wreck and die. Then what do you, you know, you're going to die and go to hell if you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart. And it's as simple as that. You'll never have a fulfillment of life. Money's not going to bring it to you. Friends ain't going to bring it to you. Family's not going to bring it to you. Only Jesus Christ is the only one that'll bring that sense of peace and the ability to live for Him. And if you don't know what it's like to be a winner, like the song talked about, then you need to know Him today. God has worked miracles in my life, and the greatest miracle is that He saved my soul, and I praise Him for that. So no matter what happens, I know that I'll go and be with Him if He decides not to let me live any longer or whatever. That's fine. If He decides not to heal my kidneys, which I believe He's going to do, praise God anyway, because I'm able to go to Dallas and feel good. He doesn't allow me to get sick from that. I'm still able to eat good and everything else. A lot of people aren't able to do that who have to take dialysis. And so that's a blessing, just to be able to go to it and have that, and have such a thing as dialysis to help your kidneys when they're not working. And so I just thank Him every day for allowing me to get up and breathe, because He's let me feel like what it's like not to be able to breathe, and that's a pretty scary feeling. But He's allowed me to experience Him through all of this, and He's healed me physically and spiritually. And I thank Him most of all for the spiritual healing that He's given me, because that's most important, I think. And I thank Him most of all for my beautiful wife that He gave to me. She's my angel. and I couldn't make it through the day without her, because she pushes me when I don't feel like doing anything. She makes me get up and do stuff, and that's what makes me stronger. And when you have a combination of Jesus Christ in your life and a wonderful woman to share it with, that makes all the difference. And a wonderful family to support you. But most important thing I would say this morning is that if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you need to come to know Him this morning. Don't hesitate. And all of us have experienced miracles in our life. Everybody has. And how long has it been since you thanked Him for those things? It's a miracle that a lot of us are even in here this morning. So don't take God's gift for granted. This altar is still here every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and will always be here. And it's for praising God, asking Him for help, just thanking Him for everything He's done for you in your life. Asking Him to forgive you of your sins. Praying for other people. Praying for your brothers and sisters. And I just pray that the Lord will continue to bless everyone. And I'm very thankful for this church. I'm thankful for Brother Denby, that he gets up and preaches the gospel, whether people around like it or not. He's not out to win a popularity contest. He's here to preach the Word of God, and that's what he was called to do. And I thank him for that. I thank God for this church and everybody in it, and I thank them for all their prayers. And for those people that, I know there's none here, but I'm saying a lot of people think that God doesn't work miracles. God doesn't heal through prayer. That's a sad thing, because He surely does. And if you don't believe in the power of prayer, just take a look right here. And it'll prove you wrong. God is a wonderful and amazing God. He's merciful. And His grace is sufficient for me. And I love Him and thank Him for all that He's done for me and all that He's going to continue to do. And I just pray that I would be a willing servant and follow Him in His direction and leadership. And I guess I'll turn it over to you for invitation. You can clear here?